Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, April 12, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Fed Chair Jay Powell says the economy is at an inflection point.
The UK reopens large parts of the economy. We're in London with the latest.
Microsoft makes a massive bet on healthcare artificial intelligence.
And the White House holds a chip summit to address the global shortage.
Protests are up after a black man was fatally shot by police in a Minneapolis suburb. Plus, a Virginia officer who pepper sprayed an Army lieutenant has been fired. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Wins for the Yankees and Knicks. The Islanders beat the Rangers, and Hideki Matsuyama is the Masters champion.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interests at IBKR.com/RIA.
And U.S. futures are lower to start the week. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 8 points. Dow futures down 81. NASDAQ futures down 22. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32. The yield 1.65%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll have more on markets in a minute. First, Jay Powell is weighing in on the economic recovery. The Fed chair says the economy is at an inflection point. There's strong growth and hiring ahead thanks to rising vaccinations and powerful policy support, but he warns the pandemic is still a threat.
We feel like we're at a place where the economy is about to start growing much more quickly and job creation coming in much more quickly. So the principal risk to our economy right now really is that the disease would spread again. You know, it's going to be smart if people can continue to socially distance and wear masks.
Powell made the comments on 60 Minutes, heard Sundays at 10 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington. Tune in for more from the Fed coming up later today when we speak with Jim Bullard. The St. Louis Fed president sits down for an extended interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Catch that at noon Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
The Fed chair mentioned the virus is still a major concern and perhaps no place more than Michigan. The state has reported more cases in the past week than any other state in the country. But the governor's request for more vaccines has been turned down by the White House. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says that's a mistake.
We need to get in the habit of trying to surge resources into those hotspots to put out those fires of spread. And it's not just Michigan right now. It's the entire Great Lakes region.
Scott Gottlieb made the comments on Face the Nation from CBS, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
In Europe today, the UK takes a significant next step in reopening large parts of the economy that have been shut since December. Bloomberg's Emma Chandra has more from Oxford Street in London.
It's not just non-essential stores that are reopening today. Of course, it is hospitality, the likes of restaurants, pubs, bars, but for outdoor service. And I do have to say, it's pretty chilly here this morning, but it depends how much pent-up demand there is for being able to go out. I certainly know of people who have booked outdoor lunches today because they're so excited to be able to have these full freedoms once again.
Bloomberg's Emma Chandra in London says restaurants are opening for outdoor dining today, but indoor drinking and dining won't be allowed until May 17th at the earliest.
Back here in the U.S., lawmakers are returning to D.C. this week to consider President Biden's $2.25 trillion spending package. Amy Morris has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Party leaders are gauging just how ambitious a plan they can get through Congress. In addition to the American Jobs Plan, President Biden is expected to ask for another massive investment in programs focusing on health and families. Committees in both the House and Senate will work on transportation and taxation provisions, while talks between the White House and congressional leaders will determine whether that plan will be broken into several bills or move as one massive package. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. The global shortage of computer chips is also on the agenda in the nation's capital. Top Biden administration advisors meet with semiconductor and auto industry leaders today. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and National Economic Council Director Brian Deese will meet with representatives of companies said to include Samsung, GM, and Global Foundries. The shortage is an outgrowth of the COVID pandemic, which boosted sales of computers, home networking gear, and appliances. That left fewer chips available to automakers who've been forced to reduce production. The Biden administration is considering incentives to boost domestic chip production. Lawmakers have been pushing for funding of grants in a broader effort to compete against China. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. In corporate news, Microsoft is on the verge of making a massive bet on healthcare artificial intelligence. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Microsoft's been trying to make inroads in the healthcare sector by selling more cloud software to hospitals and doctors. And now the software giant is set to buy Massachusetts-based Nuance Communications, tapping the company tied to the Siri voice technology. Microsoft wants to overhaul solutions that free up doctors from note-taking and better predict a patient's needs. Bloomberg News has learned executives may announce the deal as soon as today if talks are successful, and the price being discussed could value Nuance at about $56 a share. That's a 23% premium on Friday's close. It would be Microsoft's largest acquisition since LinkedIn in 2016. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, in other deal news, Luminex, the Texas-based maker of COVID lab tests, is being acquired by Italian diagnostics company Diasorin at a price of about $1.8 billion. Shares of Luminex are up 9% in early trading.
In Asia overnight, shares of Alibaba surged almost 8%. The e-commerce giant was fined $2.8 billion by Chinese regulators. But as Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reports from Hong Kong, that was less than analysts predicted.
This is an expensive slap on the wrist. $2.8 billion, it's not a small amount of money, but look, Alibaba can afford it. It did not face the worst case scenario. It did not have an order to break up. It did not have an order to have divestment of key assets. It is a fine, and the investigation for the most part into antitrust monopolistic behaviors lasted 4 months and is pretty much concluded.
Bloomberg's Stephen Engel also reports that Alibaba thanked regulators after the fine. In an open letter, the company expressed gratitude and respect to the government for helping it grow. Futures lower this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. For the first time in more than 12 months, students in Newark, New Jersey are preparing to go back to school this morning for in-person classes. It will be part of a hybrid learning model as students return to in-person learning for 2 days out of the week. Remote learning will continue for the other 3 days. Meanwhile, in Yonkers, students will return to 4 days of in-person learning this week. Wednesdays will remain remote classes. Protests occurred in a Minneapolis suburb after police fatally shot a black driver yesterday in the city of Brooklyn Center. Hours later, crowds gathered at the Brooklyn Center Police Department headquarters, as well as a local shopping center, to protest the killing. Police eventually declared those gatherings unlawful and ordered the crowds to disperse. Minnesota Department of Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington spoke last night.
Shortly thereafter, there were reports of crowds, 100 to 200, that were marching toward the Brooklyn Center Police Department.
Harrington says a curfew was put in place overnight. After 2 weeks of the prosecution presenting its case against former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, his defense team will soon present their case. They plan to argue George Floyd's drug and heart issues led to his death. So far, the jury has heard from medical experts called by prosecutors testifying Chauvin's actions were largely to blame for Floyd's death. Virginia State Police have opened a criminal investigation into a December traffic stop in which Windsor cops drew guns and pepper sprayed a black Army lieutenant. The state attorney general called the officer's conduct unacceptable. AG Mark Herring says the video shows officers used excessive force against Karan Nazario.
Looking at the video, he was the calmest person there, doing his best, and it should not happen to him. It shouldn't happen to anyone in Virginia.
Herring says one of the officers has been fired. Much of the Caribbean island of St. Vincent remains covered in ash following eruptions at the island's volcano. The volcano had been inactive for 42 years but erupted Friday. Ash has been raining down as far as Barbados and St. Lucia. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. just before 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bird Accountants and Advisors Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, they were up early on a Monday morning in Japan to watch some golf history. Hideki Matsuyama, Masters champion, first ever from Japan. He was asked through an interpreter the significance.
Until now, we haven't had a major champion in Japan. And maybe a lot of golfers or younger golfers too thought, well, maybe that's an impossibility. But with me doing it, hopefully that will set an example for them that it is possible.
Matsuyama had grabbed the lead Saturday with that 30 on the back nine. One hole in yesterday, his four-shot lead was down to one, but he got it back up to five. It then shrunk to two, but Xander Schauffele put his tee shot on the 16th hole into the water, and Matsuyama's ready to slip on the green jacket. His first major title, he had finished in the top 10 seven times. Knicks were coming off that big comeback win Friday. This time they blew a 14-point lead, but they still pulled it out at the Garden over Toronto. 102-96, Julius Randle 26 points, R.J. Barrett had 19. The Nets will be without Kyrie Irving tonight in Minnesota. Personal reasons, third time this season that has happened. Islanders got a goal from their recent pickup, Kyle Palmieri. And then Ryan Pulock, minute 13 into overtime. They beat the Rangers 3-2. The Devils lost to Pittsburgh 5-2. Yankees ended their three-game losing streak, an 8-4 win at Tampa Bay with four runs in the 10th inning. The go-ahead run driven in by Rougned Odor in his Yankee debut. Big game for Gio Urshela. Four hits. He hit a home run that went 450 feet. The Yanks play tonight in Dunedin, Florida. That's where the Blue Jays are now playing their home games. The Mets and Marlins started at Citi Field. Marcus Stroman threw nine pitches, and the rain came. The game will resume in late August. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are down 6 points. Dow futures down 71. NASDAQ futures on the decline by 16 points. 10-year Treasury up 1/32. Yield on the 10-year note is at 1.65%. This is Bloomberg. Now we're coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And this update's brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm offering industry expertise and innovative solutions for your business. Experience the Withum way. Innovative, adaptive, effective, trusted. Visit Withum.com for more. Futures following stocks lower as investors brace for a flood of earnings amid doubts about an uneven economic recovery. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 8 points. Dow futures down 70. NASDAQ futures down 31. The DAX in Germany's up less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, yield 1.65%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1%, up 64 cents at $59.97 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, or $3.80, at $17.41 an ounce. The euro, 1.1904 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3744, and the yen, 109.34. Checking Bitcoin at $59,907. Chinese regulators asking Ant Group to become a financial holding company that could be regulated more like a bank. And Vingroup is said to weigh a $2 billion U.S. IPO of auto unit VinFast. That just crossing the Bloomberg. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Iran's top atomic official said an incident at the country's largest uranium enrichment facility was an act of nuclear terrorism. In the past, Iran has largely blamed Israel for attacks on its nuclear infrastructure. Windsor, Virginia officials say that one of two police officers accused of pepper spraying and pointing their guns at a Black Army lieutenant during a traffic stop has been fired. In golf, Hideki Matsuyama has become the first Japanese male to win a major championship, winning the Masters. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets game was suspended. The Nationals lost. The Giants won. The Red Sox beat the Orioles 14-9. In the NBA, the Knicks and Celtics won. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Rangers in overtime 3-2. The Devils lost. The Capitals beat the Bruins 8-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's almost 6:20 on Wall Street now. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to turn our attention now to the pandemic. Vaccinations continue to set daily records, but we still continue to see surges of infection in pockets of the country. Gigi Granval is back with us this morning, professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And professor, I think the state that's probably getting the most attention when it comes to those regional surges is Michigan. Governor Whitmer is calling for a vaccine surge. Is that something the government should be thinking about, surging vaccines to places that are seeing these spikes in infection?
Well, I would like to see vaccines surged everywhere, and that, you know, where there is vaccine available, that they are used. It's unclear to me whether the situation in Michigan is just a matter of cases or whether it's a matter of reporting as well, and that some of the states surrounding there may also have similar rates of infection like Ohio. So I think it's a good idea to make vaccine available to stop transmission, especially among younger people. But that's true everywhere. And the virus, even though there are variants, it's changed a bit, but the vaccines still work. And all the things that we were doing before to protect against the virus, they also work too. Social distancing and masking and all those things as well.
We have seen a lot of evidence of late that much of the spread is being driven by young people. What do you think is behind that?
I assume it's just being tired of the pandemic and doing more social activities. And giving the virus opportunities to jump from one person to another. I think that is the explanation. But even though younger people do not have as many serious effects of the virus, they are still much more likely to be hospitalized with COVID than other diseases like the flu. So it's really a dangerous thing.
Shouldn't we start to see the rate of hospitalization going down, though, now that we are seeing vaccines rolling out at pretty significant rates here, at least on a national level? The idea was, wasn't it, that vaccines were going to prevent severe disease?
Yes, the vaccines are preventing serious disease, and you can start to see this with the older people who are a bigger percentage of them are fully vaccinated will find themselves less in the hospitalization category. But there's a lot of people in the United States that still have to get vaccinated, and a lot of people who are transmitting virus. So, and the one of the variants is more transmissible. So it is a bit of a race. The U.S. is doing a great job with vaccination, more and more vaccines every day, but people have to take them, and we need to keep our foot on the gas when it comes to vaccination.
And to that point, the CDC in recent days said about a quarter of vaccine doses that have gone out across the country haven't been administered yet. What do you think is behind some of this vaccine not being delivered into people's arms?
I think there's a bunch of different factors. There's a lot of accessibility issues here in Baltimore. It still is a little bit challenging to make an appointment and to get the vaccine. So all of those things need to be streamlined so that people can just decide they want a vaccine and get it, and just not to have too much complication in the middle of that. I think there are groups of people who are vaccine hesitant. We need to address that as well, particularly white men and Republican-leaning men are the highest in that group, and need to reach out to them to say, this is how you're going to protect your family and people around you and yourself from hospitalization and death.
Only 30 seconds left here. What do you think it's going to take to get that message through to people?
Trusted messengers and people who are trusted by the people who are hesitant to tell what the science is clear about. And there's a lot of research on how to do this. We need to apply it and keep at it because the disease is going to be with us for some time.
Gigi Granval, thank you as always for your insights. Gigi Granval is a professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures right now down 8 points. Dow futures down 74. NASDAQ futures down 38 points. 10-year Treasury yield 1.65%. This is Bloomberg. 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Anshin Accountants and Advisors, awarded the best accounting firm for startups and emerging funds by Hedgeweek. Find out why at Anshin.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower to begin the week. The S&P 500 coming off another record close. In the bond market, the U.S. sells 3, 10, and 30-year treasuries this week.
In the meantime, Jay Powell is weighing in on the economic recovery. The Fed chair says the economy is poised for stronger growth and hiring ahead thanks to rising vaccinations and powerful policy support.
Well, I would say that this growth that we're expecting in the second half of this year is going to be very strong.
Powell also warns COVID-19 remains a threat to growth. He made the comments on 60 Minutes, heard Sundays at 10 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington.
And stay tuned for more from the Fed coming up today when we speak with Jim Bullard. The St. Louis Fed president sits down for an extended interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Catch that at noon Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
In Europe, after almost 4 months of lockdown, people in England are allowed back into non-essential shops today. Bloomberg's Emma Chandra has more from Oxford Street in London.
Stores have spent hundreds of millions of pounds collectively on trying to make stores COVID secure. Of course, we are seeing this reopening among a very high vaccination rate, but there will still be masks required to shop in store. We'll still see a lot of that plexiglass and hand sanitizer. And of course, retail workers trying to monitor queues and lines in stores to try and maintain some forms of social distancing.
Bloomberg's Emma Chandra tells us non-essential shops, along with hair salons, gyms, and outdoor dining are open for business today.
And turning to corporate news now, Microsoft is on the verge of making an acquisition. We get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Microsoft's been trying to make inroads in the healthcare sector by selling more cloud software to hospitals and doctors. And now the software giant is set to buy Massachusetts-based Nuance Communications, tapping the company tied to the Siri voice technology. Bloomberg News has learned executives may announce the deal as soon as today. This would be Microsoft's biggest acquisition since LinkedIn in 2016. In New York, I'm Renita Young for Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And shares of Alibaba rose almost 8% in Asia overnight. China imposed a record $2.8 billion antitrust fine on the e-commerce giant. That was less severe than feared.
Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 8 points. Dow futures down 69. NASDAQ futures down 43. And the 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. The yield 1.65%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 1%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is back with a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. For the first time in more than a year, students in Newark, New Jersey, are preparing to go back to school this morning for in-person classes. It will be part of a hybrid learning model as students return to in-person learning for 2 days out of the week. Remote learning will continue for the other 3 days. Meanwhile, in Yonkers, students will return to 4 days of in-person learning this week. Wednesdays will remain remote classes. Windsor, Virginia officials say one of two policemen accused of pepper spraying and pointing their guns at a black Army officer during a traffic stop has been fired. U.S. Army Lieutenant Karan Nazario filed a lawsuit this month against the two officers for the December encounter. Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring says he's seen the body camera video from the incident.
There was nothing I saw in that video to justify their conduct. It was unacceptable, and it's dangerous, and it's got to stop.
Herring says the governor is also calling for an independent investigation. The fatal shooting of a 20-year-old after a traffic stop in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, has led to angry protests. Officers fired tear gas to disperse a crowd of about 100 people demonstrating outside the police station. Minnesota Department of Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington.
We saw rocks and other objects thrown at the police department. There were reports of shots fired in the area of the police department.
Harrington says there was a warrant out for Dante Wright's arrest. The U.S. is warning China not to take military action against Taiwan. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. has a long-time commitment
to make sure that Taiwan has the ability to defend itself and to make sure that we're sustaining peace and security in the Western Pacific.
And on NBC, stopped just short of saying immediate military retaliation, but did say the U.S. will protect Taiwan.
All I can tell you is it would be a serious mistake for anyone to try to change the existing status quo by force.
So Blinken didn't exactly say whether the U.S. would respond with military force. But in San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street, time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here again is John Stanshower.
Nathan, big things were expected from Hideki Matsuyama. A decade ago, he got invited to play the Masters as a 19-year-old amateur. From 2013 to 17, he finished in the top 10 of a major seven times, was once ranked as high as second in the world. His play had tailed off the last few years, but Matsuyama broke through with his first major title. He won the Masters by one shot over 24-year-old American rookie Will Zalatoris. Winning score was 10 under par. That's down from the 20 under that Dustin Johnson had when he won the delayed Masters 5 months ago. Matsuyama, first Asian golfer to win the green jacket. At the Garden, Knicks led Toronto by 18, and then in the third quarter, a leaky roof and a wet floor. After they fixed the problem, the Raptors went on a 37-15 run to grab the lead, but the Knicks still pulled it out. 102-96, Julius Randle scored 26. Nerlens Noel, 9 points, 13 rebounds, 4 block shots. It's the Knicks' first win over Toronto in 3.5 years. They had dropped 9 in a row. They're right back at the Garden tonight for the Lakers. No LeBron James or Anthony Davis, but without them, the Lakers on Saturday won by 25 in Brooklyn. Islanders beat the Rangers 3-2 in overtime. Devils lost to Pittsburgh 5-2. Henrik Lundqvist has given up hope of playing this season for Washington, the longtime Rangers goalie recovering from open-heart surgery. Yankees have a new infielder, Rougned Odor. With Texas, he had 3 seasons of 30 or more home runs. Made his Yankee debut, delivered a bloop single in the 10th inning. That snapped the tie. The Yanks went on to beat Tampa Bay 8-4 to end their 3-game losing streak. Gio Urshela had 4 hits. He had a 450-foot home run. The Mets and Marlins got rained out at Citi Field. John Stanshower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. So, Dave, a big e-tailer gets a big fine, and how does the stock react?
It goes up. I mean, we're talking about Alibaba Group Holding, whose American depository receipts are up 5.5% in early trading. Now, China's largest online retailer was assessed a record $2.8 billion fine by Chinese regulators for abusing its market dominance. Alibaba said it wasn't aware of any other probes by the country's antitrust regulator, so perhaps there's a sense of relief driving the ADRs higher in early trading. Tesla's up 1.5%. Canaccord Genuity said the electric car maker is set to conquer the market for energy generation and storage. The firm raised its rating to buy from hold and more than doubled its 12-month share price estimate to $1,071. That's one of the highest targets on Tesla in a Bloomberg survey.
All right. We got some big deal news this morning as well, Dave.
We certainly do. You've got Nuance Communications up 23%. People familiar with the matter said Microsoft is in advanced talks to buy the provider of speech technology and artificial intelligence. One person said the deal may value Nuance at about $56 a share. That's about $16 billion. Microsoft little changed in early trading. Waiting for perhaps a gain in Ingersoll Rand, the industrial company is nearing a deal to sell its golf cart business for $1.7 billion, according to Reuters. The report cited unnamed people familiar with the matter and said the buyer is private equity firm Platinum Equity. And Luminex is up 9%. The maker of COVID-19 testing kits accepted a takeover offer from Italian diagnostics company Diasorin. The all-cash purchase is valued at $1.8 billion. And speaking of COVID-19, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals higher by 0.5%. Study results showed the drug maker's antibody cocktail helped reduce the risk of symptomatic COVID-19 by 81% among household contacts of people with the virus. You have CureVac up 6%. A spokesman for the German company was quoted as saying its COVID-19 vaccine may win European Union approval as soon as next month. Spokesman Thorsten Schuller gave the time frame in an interview with the newspaper Augsburger Allgemeine. And Novavax up 3%. South Korean President Moon Jae-in said the company's COVID-19 vaccine will be made available in the country starting in June. Local production of the shot will begin this month. You've got Aphria up 1.5%. The Canadian cannabis producer was due to report fiscal third quarter results. And on the deal front involving blank check company, Soaring Eagle Acquisition higher by 1%. It was up 6% on Friday after people familiar with the matter said it's working on a deal for biotech firm Ginkgo Bioworks, which may be worth more than $20 billion.
Wow. Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always for the full roundup of what's happening in the pre-market. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the open, seeing modest declines for futures contracts. S&P futures down 8 points, Dow futures down 65, NASDAQ futures lower by 45 points. 10-year Treasury yield 1.65%. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading lower right now, with Dow futures down 60 points. S&P's drop up. NASDAQ futures are lower by 50. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.66%. Gold is down 2, and Shanghai fell 1.1% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 2 o'clock, the monthly budget statement. And in deal news, Microsoft is said to be close to buying Nuance Communications for $16 billion. And in other news, China ended its antitrust probe of Alibaba with a $2.8 billion fine. And Bitcoin topped 61,000 before reversing gains. Wrapping things up, Tesla was raised to buy at Canaccord. Price target there, 1,071. Exxon was raised to hold over at Jefferies. And Chipotle raised to outperform over at Raymond James. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has blamed Israel for sabotage attack on an underground nuclear facility. He made the comment today warning Iran would take revenge for the attack. A number of top executives and corporate leaders reportedly gathered online this weekend to discuss what to do in response to changes to some state voting laws. More than 100 leaders talked about potential ways to show they oppose the legislation. In golf, Hideki Matsuyama has become the first Japanese male to win a major championship, winning the Masters. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets game was suspended. The Nationals lost. The Giants won. The Red Sox beat the Orioles 14-9. In the NBA, the Knicks and Celtics won. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Rangers in overtime 3-2. The Devils lost. The Capitals beat the Bruins 8-1. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
The comeback of the bottom half. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Which part of the U.S. wealth distribution saw its net worth rise the fastest over the past year? 5 years and decade? No, not the top 1%, according to the Federal Reserve. Instead, it was the bottom half of households that saw the steepest increases, with real net worth rising 22% over the past year, 126% over 5 years, and 526% over 10 years. This is partly just a reflection of how awful the Great Recession was for less affluent Americans. Even after the gains of the past decade, the bottom half control only 2% of U.S. household wealth, lower than at any time on record before 2007. But their situation has been improving for long enough now that we should probably start paying attention. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where lawmakers are coming back from recess and getting right to work on President Biden's big infrastructure bill.
Overwhelmingly, this bill is about infrastructure in the traditional sense of the word. We also think there's a need for workforce development in order to have the workforce fully participate in how we go forward, and childcare so that women can be involved in that as well.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on CBS's Face the Nation. President Biden will meet with lawmakers from both parties today to discuss the package. One of them is Republican Senator Roger Wicker.
I can't think of a worse tax to put on the American people than to raise taxes on small business job creators, which is what this bill would do.
He was on ABC's This Week. Meantime, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says the economy is at an inflection point.
We feel like we're at a place where the economy is about to start growing much more quickly and job creation coming in much more quickly. So the principal risk to our economy right now really is that the disease would spread again. You know, it's going to be smart if people can continue to socially distance and wear masks.
Powell spoke on CBS's 60 Minutes. And with the virus surging in some parts of the country, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is calling for a surge in vaccines.
When there is a surge, we think that it's important that we rush in to meet where that need is, because what's happening in Michigan today could be what's happening in other states tomorrow.
Governor Whitmer was on Face the Nation, heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio, along with ABC's This Week. 60 Minutes airs Sunday nights on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington. And let's get more now from the nation's capital. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us now ahead of the discussions at the White House on jobs and infrastructure. Emily.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing President Biden meeting really with a bipartisan group of lawmakers today. And it's interesting, Nathan, some of the names that we're seeing being a part of this, they're not exactly sort of the big name movers and shakers, nor are they sort of those key Republicans who tend to compromise with Democrats. Instead, it's a group that, you know, Biden is going to be making his pitch to and trying to sort of see if there might be some bipartisan way forward in going about this bill. Same thing with lawmakers on Capitol Hill. Right now, they're sort of in the early stages of putting this proposal together. They're getting ideas from various members of Congress, trying to figure out what should and should not be in this package. And then not this month, but later in May, we're actually expecting to see legislation begin to go through the very start of the process, going through some congressional panels. Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said that she wants to make sure that this legislation is done by July 4th.
Now, on top of the discussions over infrastructure at the White House, we're also going to see a summit on the global chip shortage. There are going to be quite a lot of business executives at the White House today.
There are. And Nathan, remember the big thing about this global chip shortage, I mean, it sounds a little wonky, but it is so important to a number of corporations, including technology and automobiles. We're going to see Google's Alphabet represented, as well as GM and Ford. And they're going to be speaking today. And we don't really expect any big solutions to come out of this meeting today. What we are expecting is a chance for these companies to sit down with top White House officials, air their grievances, and sort of begin a discussion. The Biden administration is also hoping to have items to strengthen international supply chains in this infrastructure bill that's coming up.
Walk us real quickly through some of the comments we heard from Chairman Powell on 60 Minutes last night.
And so one thing that we are hearing from Chairman Powell, and this has actually been a message of his, I think, throughout last week, is talking a bit about the concerns around inflation, about one of the things that we've heard from a lot of Republicans is if we pass these big bills, this $2.25 trillion spending bill, what is that going to do to inflation? There were already concerns raised about the last coronavirus package. And Powell's message has really been that, you know what, we are still recovering as a nation. There is still much left to do in this recovery. And if the U.S. wants to fully bounce back from the dip that they experienced with the pandemic, that more aid and more funding is needed in the economy.
And finally, Emily, we've had a pretty extraordinary call among CEOs and other business leaders when it comes to confronting the push around voter rights and perhaps curtailing them in many parts of this country.
Yeah, there was an hour-long Zoom call over the weekend to discuss ways to push for greater voting access from a number of companies. And, you know, this sort of comes as the MLB sort of made that controversial decision to not have their All-Star game in Georgia after Georgia passed a number of new laws that critics say will restrict voting rights, particularly for minorities. And so this is becoming a bigger part of the discussion. I think it's sort of speaking to the fact that a lot of people are paying attention to companies and where they're sending their political donations to. I know Bloomberg made some news last week after reporting that JetBlue, after initially saying that they weren't going to be donating to lawmakers who voted to oppose the election, did make donations to them.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, partnering with Israel's Ben-Gurion University to do cutting-edge work in cybersecurity and environmental engineering. Learn more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The UK is reopening large parts of the economy today. Non-essential shops, along with hair salons, gyms, and outdoor service at pubs and restaurants are open again. Nationwide restrictions have been in place in England since early January, with similar rules in other parts of Britain. Since then, hospitalizations and deaths have fallen, and a mass vaccination effort has seen more than 60% of British adults getting at least one dose. Top Biden administration officials will hear from companies vying with each other for a sharply constrained global supply of semiconductors as the White House tries to figure out how to relieve a shortage that's idled automakers worldwide. More than a dozen chief executives, including the leaders of GM, Ford, and Alphabet's Google, are expected to participate. And Apple is facing a supply shortage that's affecting the upcoming iPad Pro. There are production issues with the next-generation display that's supposed to be a highlight of the device. The new iPads are planned for introduction this month. Bloomberg News has learned that the production hiccup could mean that the larger version of the iPad Pro will ship later. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. And futures this morning, again, moving lower. S&P futures down 8 points. Dow futures down 61. NASDAQ futures down 48. And the 10-year Treasury, little change now. The yield 1.66%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.